Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadili and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program we discuss problems, issues and other relevant questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the answers provided in this program are mostly based upon the holy book of the Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and naturally of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our dear friend and Islamic researcher Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi from the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Today, dear Sayyid, we'll be talking about how we can, as Muslim parents, raise our teenagers in an Islamic manner. Last, we spoke about how we should teach our children the do's and don'ts Islamically. We should teach them and educate them about this life phase they're going through and of the parts of this life phase, such as, to put it mildly, some stimulus that they may feel in this life and this stage of their life. And we should tell them and educate them how we can handle this aspect of their life and also how important it is as parents for us to teach our children to contemplate, reflect, and think upon any action and to consider its consequences before carrying it out. Dear Sayyid, what else must we know to raise our children in an Islamic manner?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Among the things that we need to teach our children, not only just at a younger age, but even as adults, is we need to teach them at least their Islamic basics.
Right.
Okay. So we need to teach them their fundamentals, their beliefs. And as a, like, as we say, as a crash course into Islam.
And Islam 101.
Yeah. So yeah. They need to have these basics as they try to get older. And
right.
Also we need to, you know, in this regard, we need to try to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them as their only mean of survival. Because up until then, they rely on you as... for survival,
right.
As their Lord and Savior.
Of course.
Now it's time to introduce them to Allah to be, or teach them the ways to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most and foremost and before anything else.
So we teach them that, remember, I may be present for you, but the actual source of all of this safety and whatever it may be, comfort, is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, and not just that, but also... but also the fact that they could face problems at that life,
right.
That me and you will not be around to help.
Right.
And instead of them going to the wrong person, we want them to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead.
Right. So he's going to be there even when I'm not.
Yeah. So they need to understand that reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost before anything else.
Right.
So this is also an important factor when it comes to having this Islamic upbringing.
And with that, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how to raise our teenagers in an Islamic way. Dear Sayyid, please pick up where you left off.
Now, after getting to the children and getting to their Islamic needs and teaching them the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is because they, at this age, they have this weakness in their belief, and their beliefs are so shaky. So they need to obviously have as much knowledge as we can give them in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen. Even though that we always say it has to begin at an earlier age, but never mind.
Their faith is not as steadfast as adults, for example.
Also, when it comes to teaching them, whether you're teaching them Islamically or culturally or wherever you're trying to embed into their heads, it has to have this mixture, again, of science and at least knowledge and practice, right? So we need to mix the theory with practical examples, with practical life. Because sometimes we have a lot of parents, they just sit and talk to their kids theoretically.
Right, in a very dry manner.
Yeah, and when it comes to practice, either they lack the practice themselves, or either it's not even applicable to the child himself.
Right.
So that just makes things more harder. Even if you want to talk about matters of Islam, for example, matters of Quran, for example, or these matters, you have to be very practical about it. Even the Quran itself, the Quran is very, very practical. He, for example, he tells you a concept, he gives you a story, he tells you how to apply it,
an example,
the consequences of not applying it, the rewards of applying it, and so on and so forth. So the Quran kind of mixes this, this theoretical and practice together. Because when a child he's hitting his new his teenage years, he's like I said, he's exploring things. So he tries to apply it to reality.
So when we teach them about their Islamic beliefs, we should not only focus on the theoretical part. We say theoretical because it is knowledge based, right? You cannot some of them carry it out in practice, but also to try to make it practical by making them consider.
Yeah,
so it may be in real life, the circumstances, the consequences of an action, and then giving some examples, basically, right?
Yes. So, but what happened is, at the same time, we try and you have to keep in mind that with the teenagers, right?
Right.
Because they will be they themselves, they will go through the process of life. So they will face situations. If these situations will become practical for them. If I have not taught them the theoretical part of it, then we're going to have a problem because he doesn't know what to do here. So, for example, when it comes to dealing with other people, dealing, I don't know, with spouses, dealing with opposite gender, dealing with a lot of things. So you lay the foundation theoretically, and then when it comes to practice, they practice it, then they, you know, they add one plus one.
Right,
if it's a matter of just let him do whatever he wants to experience whatever he wants, then obviously he will do everything wrong in the book. He might get a few things right, but most of the times he will miss the boat and he will get the wrong things.
Right, so actually, for example, we can draw an example here about ritual impurities, about nijasat and taharat. You can give the theory, but also you can demonstrate how it is in practice. And with that, we will unfortunately have to go on a quick break.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
Regarding the sixth verse of Surah At-Tahrim, the 66th Surah of the Holy Quran, that is, O you who have faith, save yourselves and your families from a fire. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, save your families from fire by enjoining them to do good. and forbidding them from evil deeds.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how we can raise our teenagers in an Islamic manner. Dear Sayyid, please continue where you left off.
Then, lastly, I do want to mention when it comes to teaching teenagers and dealing with teenagers, we need to use every possible method that is available for us in order to teach the child. So,
right.
Whether it is, I don't know, a device, an app, a video,
right.
A cartoon, a book, a story, because with children and teenagers, you know, each one of them gets ticked at a certain thing.
Right.
A certain thing will tick him.
Some are stimulated by visuals, yeah. By listening, by drawing, by having something in their hands.
Yeah. Right. Or by even having a friend that they like a lot that could make a difference on them. Or, you know,
right. Yeah, yeah.
Advise
exactly.
Them.
Social experience even.
So whatever means you can have or whatever tools you can use in order for you to educate your child, then also you should seek it and you should use
right.
It. Because most parents, they are stuck with their old methods of teaching or the method that they've been, you know, raised with. They
right.
Think that would be, since it worked for them, so surely it must work with their kids. So I've seen a lot of parents, for example, he says, well, I was very respectful to my parents, but my kids, he says, are not respectful to me. I'm like, yeah, because with your parents, you used to fear them a lot.
Right.
So the fear was the factor. Not that you respected them. The fear was the factor.
Right, there's a difference.
There's a difference. Now there's no fear factor. Okay, so
not that you're saying that there should be one, but it shouldn't be the sole one to make you have respect for somebody. It shouldn't even be a part of it.
Yeah, so with fear, obviously, we said we don't want to put fear into their kids, but
right,
at least
yeah.
they have to understand that there is an authority figure. And the authority
right.
Figure itself, fear is kind of embedded into it.
Right.
That, okay, you know, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we deal with Allah based on love and compassion. And he does that. That's the same thing that he deals with us based on. But at the same time, we know how punishful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He's a muntaqim, right? He's an absolute avenger. So that kind of fear we do have, we know that Allah is. But
right.
Mainly, we fall on his good side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we have this love and compassion with Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim kind of thing.
Right.
Same thing with his parent. The fear, like I said, it's already there. But if this is the main thing that I'm using as my mean of trying to make my children do whatever
tool.
I want, obviously that's not going to work, at least
right.
In this age.
Yeah.
It could work maybe like 30 years ago.
Maybe.
But now,
right.
It will never work. So as parents, you have to use all these means, all these tools. And you got to keep in mind with teenagers these days, more than 5 minutes and their brain shuts down.
Right.
They just won't be able to comprehend anything.
Depending on the person, of course.
They have a very short...
attention span. Yeah.
Attention span. I would say, I don't know, maybe call me crazy, but I would say maybe most of them, if not all of them, that have this attention span problem. Now, inshallah, it's not, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, but you've observed.
Yeah, because
right.
the problem is they only engage for a longer time if something is extremely engaging.
Right.
For example, they could watch a movie. If the movie is not engaging, after 15 minutes, they will change it, they'll turn it off.
Yeah, right.
If the movie is full of action engaging, that would stay tuned in.
Right.
That's why you see that when they make movies now, the first scene that the movie begins with is an action scene.
Right, right.
Right.
Explosion.
So something goes, and then they go back, either they go back in time, they go back forwards.
Right.
And with series, for example, they show you a big event at the beginning,
right,
gets
right.
Burned in the end, and just before the end, they put
a cliffhanger. Right, yeah.
So they're trying to engage your attention span. More with teenagers, their attention span is like very little. So
right.
You have to take that into consideration. If you want to talk, like Amir Al-Mu'minin says, خَيْرُ الْكَلَامَ مَا قَلَّ وَدَلَّ. The best of speech, that which is little and precise.
And with that in mind, we will unfortunately have to finish today's program. I thank you for your insightful knowledge. I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any comments or questions, please contact us at our email englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website parstoday.com. In addition to that, we also have social media accounts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Fi amanillah.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way.